Hello and good morning, for God is good and working all the time. And we're going to be built up in the name of Jesus, being built up to grow each and every day and to praise God for each new day. Thank you for planting the seeds of the gospel and saving more souls by sharing this video and typing Jesus forever, because we want to put Jesus first forever in our life and not anything else. My name is Pastor Josh Pan, and we're going to be having a daily devotion as we share the Word of God with you and me. And I'm going to be growing, and you're going to be growing. And so stick to the very end if you want to grow, if you want to be able to hear the Word of God. You know, stick to the very end. So welcome, everyone. Ooh, who's first? Faithful. Hello, Abundant. Hello, Lover. Hey there, that guy. Sub, good. You guys are fast this time. So fast. But glory to God. I'm so glad to see y'all. Oh, yeah. You guys, man, you guys are first. But praise the Lord for that sudden burst of your blue the Squirtle. Hi. Hello, everyone. Hello, Karen. Yeah. Caleb is here. Ha ha ha. Abundant Feminine. Hello. Hey, Crystal Fortunes. Welcome back. I haven't seen you, but I'm so glad you are tuning in. And Neil Villan. Hey, we're having people come in, so we're going to get started soon. Yes, Jesus forever. Yes, amen. Thank you for the support, for this, everything that you guys do, for being present, because we know it helps the channel and also helps get Jesus' name out, because His name is so important, and that's why we show up each and every day. Happy birthday, Faithful Journey. Yes, you love Jesus. Praise the Lord, and He loves you too. He loves each and every one of you guys. And so, yes, we continue following Him, walking in His ways, and we see His goodness, His mercy, each and every day. And so, we are going to have Jesus come through for you. Defeat that depression, defeat that anxiety, defeat that mental health, because He's bigger, He's higher. And so, we're not here to gain religion or rituals or tradition. We're here to gain a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, a relationship with God. Amen. And so, praise the Lord. So, let's get started. Reading from Obadiah. Chapter 1, verse 15 to 21. And this is actually from the Old Testament. And Obadiah, earlier in his passage, he was talking about the Edomites. The Edomites were from the descendants of Esau. And Esau is the brother of Jacob, who is known as Israel. And so through Jacob came Israel. And then Edom, the Edomites, took advantage of Israel, like generations after. So God is saying, you do not do that. You do not take advantage of those who are in need. You do not betray them, hurt them. No, you don't hurt God's people, God's believers. What you do is be righteous, be brothers. And so we're talking about God's vindication today. So 15 to 21, and this is the shortest book in the Bible. But because Obadiah, he was faithful to God and listened to God, this was put into the Word of God so that we can understand of the judgment of God upon the unrighteous. Almost like in the end times when God will judge those who are unfaithful. Those who are rebellious against Him, He will judge. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Alpha, Omega. He's the God who watches and sees all things. And He protects the righteous. Hello, Mecca. Amen. And Deborah. Praise the Lord, James. Hello. So, let's read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Because the Word of God is alive and true. It's a tool for you to grow. It is the truth, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And so we absolutely must read the Word of God and dissect it and so do some reflection and deep dive. And we know that it helps so many people, so many people. So we don't take any of this for granted. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. God is good. He's so good. Let me see if I can put this onto my screen so that you can see it. And that you can, yes. Boop. Yes. So, living life. God's vindication. So, the day of the Lord is near for all nations. For every nation. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head. Just as you drink on my holy hill, so all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and be as if they have never been. Verse 17. But the Mount Zion will be deliverance. It will be holy. And the house of Jacob will possess its inheritance. And Jacob will be a fire. And the house of Joseph will be a flame. And the house of Esau will stubble, and they will set it on fire and consume it. There will be no survivors from the house of Esau. The Lord has spoken. Verse 19, people from Negev will occupy the mountains of Esau, and the people from the foothills will possess the land of the Philistines, and they will occupy the fields of Ephraim and Samaria, and Benjamin will possess Gilead. And this company of Israelite exiles who are in Canaan will possess the land as far as Zarephath. The exiles from Jerusalem who are in Shepharad will possess the towns of Negev. Deliverers will go up the Mount Zion to govern the mountains of Esau. And the kingdom will be the Lord's. Wow, so much to learn in one passage. But we can see that Obadiah was really warning the people who were against believers, against him, against Israel, the Jewish nation of that time. And he was not only warning the Edomites, the descendants of Esau, but all those other people who did evil against Israel. And he said that it will be done to you. Your deeds return upon your own head. So if you do good deeds, it will come back to you, good deeds. But if you do evil, then you will receive that same evil that comes against you. It's almost like something they call karma. Someone does something with a bad intention. And then, with that bad intention, well, comes karma, because it just comes back. Like bad luck, right? But, you know, God is sovereign. He is in control. And he says that if you have these evil and bad intentions towards others, it will come back towards you. And so, just as you drink on my holy hill, so all other nations will drink continually. And they will drink and be as if they never had been. And why Holy Hill? Because the East Edomites, they actually lived in a very strategic area. On a hill, on the mountain, at the top. And they felt like they oversaw everything. They thought they were invincible. And so, the Lord is saying, no, you're not invincible. I am more powerful than you are. I am higher than you are. And I control all things. Amen. So God is amazing. Amen. Yeah, you're right. He's amazing. He is good too. Amen. And so we praise the Lord for he is good. And he never lets us down. But on Mount Zion will be deliverance. But what is Mount Zion? It's almost like Mount Sinai. But not Mount Zion is like the righteousness. It will be holy, and the house of Jacob will possess its inheritance. And Jacob will be a fire, and house of Joseph be a flame. And the house of Esau will stubble. So Jacob, the Israelites, they will be have power, fire. Joseph, a flame. That means it's alive. They will set it on fire and consume it. And then there's no survivors in the house of Esau. So this is what the Lord has spoken. They warned of these things to happen. This is God's vindication. And it might not be something that a lot of us like to hear. But it's absolutely crucial to understand, right, Christina? To understand that God is in control. And God promises judgment for the nations who take advantage of others. So that goes to our first reflection out of two. These reflections help me. And so it will help you as well. Praise the Lord. And then, God promises. He promises to come through for you. For judgment for the nations who take advantage of others. By the way, there's the sun. It's great having a sun. Now, I look kind of... But it's okay. The sun, the light is harsh. But we enjoy the morning. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for a new day. Thank you, Jesus, for a sun. It's good for vitamin D. Praise the Lord. And so the same evil that they have done will circle back and be done unto them. Those who continue to act unjustly will reap the consequences until they face their own destruction. Obadiah's prophetic declaration is a warning that the oppressors in this world will not be free to oppress forever. Wow. Oppressors of the world. Well, you know, those who oppress, they're proud. They're greedy. They're evil. They're sinful. Those who oppress others are not going to be oppressors forever. It's only temporary. Everything on this earth is temporary. And so, we have to know that God will come through. And God's judgment of nations, for nations, who take advantage of others, will happen. And so, we can see and experience injustice and oppression. And it can be tempting to give in to despairs or cynicism. And we can instead rest in the assurance that God will fight for you. And vindicate us. He will fight for you. We have a God who fights for you. Amen. And if God is for you, then who can ever be against you? If God is for you, who can ever be against you? No one can stand against you. Because we know that God is for us. And we can rest upon His firm foundation. His assurance that He's your source of hope in the midst of adversity. He's your source of love, source of a greater future in the midst of adversity. He fights for you, and the promise of His justice enables you to persevere in faith, to stand strong, be steadfast, be patient in faith, and faith triumphs over all things. Faith keeps people going forward. And our faith in Jesus is the best thing ever. Amen. And so, God's promise, you can lean on His promises that He has not let you down, let you go. He has not forsaken you. But He is still with you. everywhere you go. Even in your lowest moments, even when you feel all is lost, even when you feel like there is no way out, he's saying, hey, I love you. I'm with you. I'm with you in the fire. I'm with you in the storm. I'm with you when things get hard. I'm with you when things don't go as expected. I'm with you in the lion's den. I'm with you against your giants. I'm with you in the war. You're not alone. You're not alone. Because Jesus, God, he is faithful and true. And he never lets us down. And the promised assurance of heaven, which is eternity with him, it's sure, it's true. So we can live in his promises, upon his truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. And our second reflection is trusting in God's deliverance. Trusting in God's deliverance. And Obadiah, he prophesies God's deliverance and restoration over his people in the face of seemingly insurmountable odds. Despite Edom's strength, God assures his people that they will receive their inheritance, and Edom will reap destruction. You see, you reap what you sow. If you sow good seeds of the gospel, planting the seeds of the gospel, then you will reap righteousness, good things, God's favor. And you can say, wow, today I'm blessed and highly favored. But if you do evil things and plant evil seeds, then you will reap destruction, ruin. And it's going to be hard. Life is going to be even harder. And so what you do now really matters. What you do now will determine what you will reap in the future. And he says what you reap in the future will be tenfold, 100-fold, 1,000-fold. You gotta be consistent. Gotta be committed and diligent. And then God will reward you. And this promise underscores God's sovereignty and his faithfulness. You see, God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-ever-present. And he knows exactly what the best path for you to take. And it reminds you that he and you can work in ways, God can work in ways that is contrary to your human expectations. He actually always comes through, and even greater than I can expect. That's why it's so important to wait on the Lord, to pray to him, to allow him to do his works. In the end, he gives you that fruit of the Spirit, of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Something that the world cannot offer you. God is able. And so we wait on the Lord. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. Even in the most unlikely circumstances, you can trust in God's word, which never fails, and that God's promises are sure and true. He's faithful. He can intervene and deliver his people. He can deliver you in unexpected ways. And he deeply cares about your well-being when you are tempted to give in to discouragement, give in to temptation, give in to your false sense of security or insecurity. Let us look beyond your immediate circumstances to the mercy and grace that God continues to show you. He comes through for you every time, now and forever. You see, God is faithful in the past. He's faithful today and tomorrow and forevermore. He's always faithful. God never changes. His word never changes. And that's why we read the word of God and allow the word of God be ingrained into our hearts so that we may grow and build our life upon His firm foundation and experience more and more of His goodness, His mercy, His grace each and every day. Because we know our God is a just God. Our God is God who never lets us down. Our God is faithful and true. And He's given us way more than enough. And we praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him for everything He's done for us. Amen. So there's the promised judgment, but also the promised assurance of those who believe in Him. Amen. God is good. Amen. Great. Take a moment. Type Jesus forever. Let this sink in. The Lord our God, who is in control, who sees all things, knows all things, knows your pain, knows your sorrow, says you're not alone. Because I'm the Lord your God, I come through for you. I fight for you. I love you. I care for you. And I will continue coming through for you each and every day. I will never let you down, for I'm the Lord your God. So we can see, deep diving into Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 10 to 14, that God's reason for judgment is a picture of ultimate betrayal. Hello, Quintia, Lily, William, Nancy, C-Mac, Luz. Praise the Lord. God's reason for judgment is a picture of ultimate betrayal. You see, violence was what the Edomites committed. They committed acts of violence against their own brothers, the Jews. Esau, Jacob, they were brothers, their relatives. And they still took advantage of each other. That's what the Edomites did. They had unbrotherly spirit. They stood aloof when the Jewish people needed help. They were guilty as the conquerors of Israel. As the conquerors of Israel, they did not defend other believers, other people of their own blood. And they even self-exalted themselves. God judged them because they self-exalted themselves, because they did not have this brotherly spirit. They looked down upon and felt superior to the Jewish people. They rejoiced over the sufferings of the Jews. And we could think of the Jews as God's chosen people, the Jews as believers who have faith in the one true God. And then God's judgment was because of robbery. They plundered Israel. When the Jews were in the midst of disaster, they stole from the helpless, those suffering the most. They murdered, they betrayed. They handed over those surviving Jews to the enemies for enslavement. And they laid and killed those fleeing for their lives. So the Edomites, they were guilty of violence and being against God's people. And what can you learn from this? When God began the human race, He established the law of reproduction through the union of male and female. And as members of the human race and descendants of Adam and Eve, we are all called brothers and sisters. You and I, we are brothers and sisters. And now especially when we have one Heavenly Father in heaven, when we are children of God, we are sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. That makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. It doesn't matter what your race, what your nationality is, what your age is. We are all descendants of the first man and woman. And when you come into a relationship with our Lord, our God, now we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Therefore, we have to have this brotherly spirit, a spirit of loyalty to fill your hearts for one another. And never let this traitorous or disloyal evil spirit come into you. No bitterness, no hatred, no revenge or retaliation, no oppression or cruelty or discrimination. We are not to embody any of this. Instead, we're to embody more of Jesus. Jesus, who came with this agape, unconditional love for each and every one of you. Jesus, who came through to set you free from sin, from the bondage of the world, from the bondage of these things that's holding so many people down. God demands you to love one another. Listen to what God says. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 to 40. This man asked, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" "The first and greatest commandment." And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment." This is the first and greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all that you have. Your time, your talent, your treasures, everything is His because He paid for your sin. So you love Him. And second is like it. You shall love your neighbors as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35. "A new commandment I give to you, that you shall love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Amen. We love each other, brothers and sisters. We care for each other. We are unified in Christ. And we are Team Jesus. Amen. John chapter 15 verse 12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you." Love. If you don't know how to love, then you must seek God. Because God is love. God is the ultimate embodiment of love. He is love. And He created us in His image. So we are to love. So if you want to know how to love, then know who God is. And when you know God, then you will know love. But if you don't know God, then you do not know what true love is. And there's no greater love than this, than one to lay down their life for another. And that is exactly what Jesus did for us. He laid down His life for each and every one of you. He came from heaven to earth. He laid down His divinity, His glory, His power, His kingship to come on earth, to be rejected, the rejected king, to be beaten, to take the 39 lashes as a criminal. Even when He lived a perfect and sinless life without mistakes, He bore your sin on that cross for you. This is the God that we serve, the God who shows what true love is. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling on to what is good." Abhor means hate what is evil. And cling to what is good. And what is good? God is good. God is love. And so we should cling on to what is good. What is God? God is who we should cling on to. The Word of God should teach us, lead us, build our life upon His foundation. This is the Word of God. We ought to love what God loves and hate what God hates. And it takes time to learn this. It takes time to build your faith. But you should be hungry for the Word of God. For the Word of God is sweet like honey. Sweet like honey. It is rich like gold and silver. The Word of God is what brings ultimate peace to the heart, to the mind. The Word of God is His promises, is His goodness, is His mercy towards us, giving us instructions. The B-I-B-L-E, Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Not romantic love, but the brotherly love. Give preference to honor one another. Amen. And then in verse 15 to 21 of Obadiah, God gave a wonderful promise to His dear people, to you and me, who truly placed your trust in Him. And these promises point to the Messiah kingdom, to heaven, Messiah's kingdom, heaven, the day when Christ will return to establish God's kingdom on earth. And keep in mind to these promise points to the one true God. These promises are partially fulfilled when the Jewish exiles were released. From their various captivities down through history. But the promises were never completely fulfilled. Their complete fulfillment will take place in the last days of human history. When Christ returns, Jesus is returning to set up God's kingdom. And in that glorious day, six marvelous promises will be fulfilled. And promises that are prophesied by the great Obadiah. Great prophet Obadiah. So listen carefully, for these six promises are things that we should hold on to, that we should remember, and that we should look forward to. Be eager, be happy that God is victorious, that God has a great way for us. Team Jesus, it's a way. So, if you're looking forward to God's promises, type God's promises. Oh, God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Donovan from South Africa. And we read the Word of God. And the Spirit of God will reveal Himself to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And a fire. Quintia, thank you. Christy, y'all say God's promises. Praise the Lord. Thanks for being a great crowd today on TikTok. Oh, yeah. So good. Tyler. Shelly. Zilly. Praise the Lord. It's God's promises that we cling on to. God for life. Yeah, God is amazing. Amen. You come from Milwaukee? Welcome. Alright. So God's promises to His people. God's promise. I'm so excited to know what God's promises that Obadiah, the prophet, has written in the Old Testament when the Israelites were in exile. It's a picture of the Messiah's kingdom, the Savior's kingdom. That time they did not know Jesus, but they knew there was a Messiah coming to unite, to bring God's kingdom here. They actually thought it would be a kingdom that was physical, but it was actually a kingdom of heaven that came. So, number one, all nations will face the day of judgment, or face the day of the Lord. God's perfect justice and judgment will be executed. It says they drink in Jerusalem, God's holy hill, and they will return and drink God's wrath. Alright? So, do not drink in Jerusalem. Do not get drunk. Be alert. Be sober. Do not sin. Walk in the ways of God. Say Jesus forever. Let Him be your King. Let Him be your Lord, your Savior, to save you from the wrath of God. You see, the world is headed towards ruin and destruction. The brokenness, the sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all sin. And the wages of sin is death. Not just a physical death, but a spiritual death. An eternal separation from God. But lo and behold, God so loved the world. He loves you, that He sent His one and only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, shall not die, shall not have that eternal separation, but have everlasting, eternal life. Amen. So the day of judgment of the Lord is coming, number one. Number two, Jerusalem, Mount Zion, will be delivered and made holy by Christ's presence and rule. Where He ascended, He will descend. I don't remember exactly where He ascended, but I believe it was around that area where the Israelites are. So, Mount Zion, Jerusalem, or believers in the name of Jesus, will be delivered and made holy by Christ's presence and rule. You'll be made holy. You will be delivered from this evil world, from the present world, and delivered into everlasting life, eternal life, eternal presence of God. You'll be given this new body and live somewhere there's no more sorrow, no more pain. There's no more disease or sickness. There's no more hatred, no more corruption. That's the promise. And Jewish believers, Jacob's house, will inherit the land. They will inherit the land. And Jacob and Joseph's southern and northern kingdom will be united, reunited, and be the dominant nation on earth due to Christ's seat on government being in Jerusalem. Edom will be destroyed. All the enemies of God will have no survivors. And Israel will reoccupy the land lost to other nations down through the centuries. The mountain of Edom, the land of the Philistines, the land of Ephraim, Samaria, Galilee, the Phoenician coast, as far as Zarephath, and the cities of Negev and south. Wow. And then last of all, godly leaders, deliverers, will govern Edom, as well as other nations, when God's kingdom is established on earth. Actually, I think that this was actually, right now Israel is a nation. Israel has regained their land. They're actually ruling over Israel this present day and age. I believe that they were in exile for the longest time, and that there was no way that they can come back together. No way, absolutely no way. But by God's power, by God's sovereign power, they are now one nation, actually living and at war in the Middle East. And so we know that the biblical prophecies have come to pass, and that Israel is united again. But does that mean I'm for war? Pro-war? No. I'm against war. I hate war. God is against war. And He is for unity. For unity. Right, Isabella? Yes. So God promises. This is also talking about the judgment. All nations will soon face the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is the climactic period of human history when God's perfect justice and judgment will be executed upon the nations. In verse 15, all unbelieving and godless nations of the earth will face God's frightening vengeance as they have mistreated the Lord and His people. So the same mistreatment will fall upon their own heads. The enemies of Israel will be allowed to conquer and drink in God's holy hill of Jerusalem. But the day was coming when they themselves will be made to drink God's wrath. Note that this wonderful promise is to true believers, both Jews and Gentiles. In the days of the Lord, God's righteous judgment will fall upon all those who oppose God and oppose His dear people. Believers of God, He is for you. And all who reject the Lord and persecute His followers will drink the cup of wrath, God's wrath. And all wrongs and injustice of the earth will be corrected. Thus, the first promise given to God's people is that all nations will soon face the day of the Lord, and the day of God's perfect justice and judgment will be executed upon earth. And the reason why Obadiah is giving this is because God does not want you to die. God does not want you to experience His wrath. God actually wants to save you from it. He actually wants to bring you into His everlasting life, into a place where you have no wrath, no pain. He wants to bring you into His presence, into a better place. And that's why He offers you a free gift. Well, actually, it's not free. But He paid for it. He paid for it. He paid for your sin. He did. And so, we have to thank God for saving us from wrath. Exactly right, Shelley. Exactly right. This is difficult stuff. Not something people want to hear. People don't want to hear of this judgment. But since you're sticking to the end, we know that you're serious in your faith. We know that you want to know more. You want to grow more. You want to walk the way of righteousness. Walk in obedience in God. Because He is the one that gives you true freedom. And in my mind, in my head, the past few days, I've been reading, been studying, and thinking, wow, true freedom is being a slave to Jesus instead of being a slave to the world, being a slave to sin. True freedom is when you submit yourself under His authority, His power. That is what true freedom is. And that is what Jesus gives you. Freedom from the bondage of sin that holds so many people down, that leads people towards ruin and destruction. Well said. And God promises that Jerusalem, Mount Zion, will be delivered from the hands of all enemies, and that the city will be made holy. Remember that holy means to be set apart, to be separated completely from the Lord and His holy, for the Lord. Separated completely for the Lord, not from the Lord, but for the Lord and His holy presence. You can ask your question. A day is coming when Israel will be made holy by the presence of God Himself, Christ Himself. In addition, Jerusalem will become the capital city of the whole world, the very seat of God's government on earth. And of course, this points to the return of Christ. He's returning, He's coming. That glorious day when He will return to set up God's kingdom on earth. Only the presence and rule of Christ Himself can make Jerusalem a true holy city. Jesus, He's the one that broke these chains for you. Amen. Jesus broke these chains so that you can be set free. And that's why we could love Him, love God for who He is. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's why we trust in Jesus, walk in His ways, know that He's got great plans for each one of you. And then He promised that Jewish believers, Jacob's house, will finally inherit the land that was promised to Abraham and to his descendants. All those who truly believe in Him and follow the Lord faithfully, they will inherit the promised land that is guaranteed by God, guaranteed to all who believe and follow Him. And of course, the promise is given both to Jewish people and Gentile believers. Because in the millennium, the day when Christ returns, establishes Christ's God's kingdom on earth, a holy community of Jewish believers will finally receive their promised inheritance in Israel. The land will be their sole possession. In that glorious day, God's promises to Abraham will be totally and conclusively fulfilled. Now Jesus, He is the Son of God. And Joseph is His earthly father, but Joseph did not have any sexual relation with Mary before Jesus was given birth. Mary was born a virgin, and then she was made pregnant through the Holy Spirit. So, I have an earthly father, and I have a father-in-law, and I have the Heavenly Father. Does that mean I have three fathers? Well, there's a very crucial difference between all of that. And so, yeah. God bless you all. Welcome all who join us. And then God, He promised that Jacob and Joseph, the northern and southern kingdom, will be united, and that Israel will be a dominant nation on earth. And of course, this dominance will be due to the Messiah, Christ's seat of government, which establishes Jerusalem. And Edom will then be destroyed and have no survivors. Yes, this is in the Old Testament. And keep in mind that Edom represents all the enemies of God and His people. Thus, the wonderful promises assure us that God's people and all the enemies will be removed assures God's people that all enemies of the earth will be removed from the face of the earth. Man, my speech today is kind of hard, but we continue to speak. Speak the word of God. And no longer will there be people anywhere on earth that will oppose God or persecute his followers. Everyone on earth will be a true believer, genuine follower of God and his holy word. At long last, God's kingdom will be established on earth. Okay, what can we learn from this? The day is coming when Jesus Christ will return and establish God's kingdom on earth. When we pray what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, we will always begin as followers. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name and your kingdom come. And this is how we should pray. We ask God to send his kingdom to earth. And one day our prayers will be answered. God has promised to send his son Jesus back to earth. And when Christ returns, he will come in great glory and power and establish God's kingdom. And in that glorious day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the promised Messiah, the Son of the living God, will be coming back. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 15 to 21. But we're moving on to some application or some verses. Matthew chapter 21, verse 5, it says, "Say to the daughters of Zion, behold, your kingdom's king is coming, gentle and mounted on the donkey, even on the colt, the fowl of beast of burden. He's coming. He's coming." Psalm chapter 91. Psalm chapter 98, verse 9. "Before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth, he will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity." He's coming, guys. Hello, Wyatt. Thank you. Okay, guys, we're going to be moving into application. But before that, I'll pray for you guys. Application, you guys want to listen carefully because it allows us to reflect in our hearts, in our minds. It allows you to hear my testimony, my story as well. And so, yeah. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promises. Thank you that you will deliver us from the evil ones, from the oppression, that you are in control, you are in charge. Thank you, Lord, that you never forgot about us, that you always come through us, that you're for us, not against us. Thank you that we can live in your presence, live in your promises, live knowing that you are God above it all. And we pray that your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And that your will be done. And that we would follow you all the days of our life. For you are the Lord who saves us. Lord who comes through for us. Lord who never lets us down. Lord, we come with our heart, singing praises to you, giving you glory, being grateful for all that you've done, being grateful for everything you are doing, being grateful for everything that you will do. Lord, we don't take it for granted. For you are the God who sees and knows all things and controls all things. You are all-powerful, all-knowing. And we pray that your presence would be in our hearts, in our mind, in our life. That we would be able to experience more of you each and every day. Father God, we commit to you, to reading your word every day, to meditating on the word of God each and every day, and to building your kingdom, your community, your church. So until the day you come, we will be faithful to the very end, and we will say Jesus forever. Lord, I thank you for this word. The word of God is alive and powerful. It's meant for us, so we don't take this for granted. Thank you for being a good God, a loving God, caring God. Thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. If you have any questions, anything, let me know. We give glory to God. Chelsea Patterson says, amen. Christina Parker, thank you, Lord God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Chelsea, Denise, Christy. God is so good. And he's working in our life. JMM. Amen. Shelley Freeman. Amen. Amen means yes. I agree. Amen. Giving God all the glory. Praise the Lord. Thank you guys for the 18 likes. Thank you guys for the subscribe, follow. Thank you guys for joining me. Thank you for being part of this journey. First question out of 4 of application. What injustice in this world tempt you to despair or cynical? Well, I see there's war everywhere. That it's no fun living in this world with insecurity, with greed, with pain and suffering and disease. It tempts us to try to run away, to live in anxiety and fear. It tempts us to live in shame and in depression. But we know that God is bigger than it all. It tempts us to live in isolation, despair. I've been there. But we know that the opposite of isolation, or the cure, the answer to all these things, is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. He's the answer to our problems, the answer to build our life on His firm foundation. Jesus is the answer. I've been tempted to gain my life away. I've been tempted to swipe my life away. I've been tempted to waste my time away, to be consumers and not a producer. That I have. But by the grace of God, we've been set free. We've been given new life, a better life. We've been given a life that we no longer have to live in suffering and pain. Instead, live in His promises. Amen. Live for God. Live a life of victory, not shame. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, He didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. He defeated sin and death. He rose in victory. So then when you live in Christ, you live in victory. And when you live in Christ Jesus, from season to season, every season you live for Christ and in Christ, then you will live from victory to victory, breakthrough to breakthrough, life to life, faith to faith, strength to strength, glory to glory. You live from Jesus to Jesus. And you live in His victory, in His goodness, in His mercy, in His promises. You live knowing that He's got great plans for each and every one of you. We live in victory because He came through for each one of us. Because He laid His life down for us. Because He covered us with His blood. Made us pure and holy and righteous so that we may live a pure, holy, righteous life. No longer are we held down by the bondage, by the chains, by the traps of sin, of the devil, of the demons, of evil. No longer do we hold this in our hearts. We're no longer bound by the world, but we're bound to the cross, chained to the cross, chained to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we know better it is to be a slave to Christ than a slave to sin. Better it is to be a servant, an ambassador of God, than to be a man of this world who has the whole world. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? The whole world is temporary. The whole world will one day dissolve like snow. The whole world one day will be destroyed by fire. It is temporary, but your soul will live on forever and ever. Amen. And it's either going to live forever in the presence, in relationship with God when you say yes to Jesus, or forever in eternal separation from God when you say no to Jesus. That's why each and every one, we reach as many people as we can. And I know soon we will see each other face to face, not just online, in heaven. And so I'm looking so much forward to meeting you guys as we are united in Christ. Amen. Amen. And so we're going to be going into question number 2 out of 4. Wow, that's powerful stuff. How does the promise of God's judgment make a difference in your perspective? How does the promise of God's judgment make a difference in your perspective? Well, you see, my perspective does not matter that much. But God's perspective is the thing that matters. If you see life from the lens of God, then your life will change, will be transformed. Your life, your choices will be different. You see, one day for the Lord is maybe 100 years for us, 1,000 years for us. If you see that God's plans, God's timing is perfect timing, then you have nothing to worry about. Then you don't have to live in anxiety. You don't have to live in depression. When you know that God forgiven you, that He loves you, that He laid His life down for you, you no longer have to live in regret for your past mistakes. You say, I am forgiven. I will not live in depression, in the past, in shame, in regret. No, I will not. And I will not live in anxiety, for I trust in the Lord. I know He holds all things in His hands. I know His promises are good for me, for you. So my perspective is that I am safe and secured and stable in the hands of God. And that's why I say God is my ultimate security, my ultimate rest, place of rest, my ultimate stability. Stability. He keeps me stable when the earth has so many lies that's being hurled around me. Keeps me stable when people try to attack me and stop me from moving forward in my life. Keeps me stable when people accuse me of my speech, saying, you cannot speak. But I'm not speaking. God is speaking. If God is speaking, then it is His words. And it is His words that are powerful. My words have no power. But God's word holds all the power. And God's word is the one that unites us. The one that brings us together. The one that makes things possible. And so, that's why we give God all the glory. And we praise God for all the things He's done for us. And I say, not my will, not what my desires, but God's will be done. May God's desires be done. May He increase in my life, and I decrease, because I know one day I will fade away. Internet will fade away. Subscribers will fade away. Trophies will fade away. All things on earth that you can see will fade away one day. It's all temporary. But the soul will never fade away. And that's why we're here. To win more souls. To win more people to the one true God. To plant seeds of the gospel. So that they may have the opportunity to hear. Opportunity to walk in His ways. Opportunity to grow in the one true God. Opportunity to have this eternal relationship with a one true loving Heavenly Father who never lets us down. For He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Alpha Omega. And He is our Creator. And our Creator created us to have an eternal relationship with Him. When sin came in the world, it broke us apart from Him. Because sin makes us vulnerable, makes us bound to death. But because Jesus loves us, God loves us, Jesus came to die on the cross, being buried, being raised from the dead. He defeated that sin for you, for me, and set us free. Amen. Amen. God is good. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I love His yoke. It keeps me from falling into Satan's traps. It is true. When you fall into the trap of the devil, it takes lots of energy, lots of time, even money to get out of that trap. And that's why when you walk in the wisdom and the ways of God, then it protects you from the traps of the devil. And that's why we're here, talking about the traps of the devil, talking about where the devil is trying to lead you towards eternal destruction, eternal ruin, eternal lake of fire, eternal place where separation from God. It is true. So Jesus, God, He nudges you away from the things that are not for Him, that are not from Him, and leads you towards places that are of His place. He leads you because He's your shepherd. And the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack. I shall not want. He leads me by still water. And He makes me lie down by green pastures. He gives me everything I need. Amen. My favorite event that happened in the Bible is that Jesus rose from the dead. He defeated sin and death for my sin. And because He's done that, the Abrahamic blessings, the Davidic blessings, they come upon each one of us, Gentiles. It's been transferred and shared from the Jewish people, not just Jewish people. But now it's for you and me, for all people. And not only did that event do that, give us the gift, the blessings, but it also gives us eternal life, salvation, hope. It also gives us the Holy Spirit, which lives in each one of us. And so I love it that Jesus came to defeat sin and death, defeat the devil. And so that we are redeemed in the Lord, right, Denise? We're walking in His ways. We're no longer held down by His evilness. So welcome everyone, Braden, Lisa. Praise the Lord. God is good. What is my favorite prophecy that has not been completed yet? One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. All creatures, all human beings, every living things, even the ants, even the lions, even the spiders, every human will bow down and confess that He is the Lord, the King of Kings. Jesus is Savior. How do you like that? Jesus is returning. One day every tongue will confess that He's Lord. And I look forward to that. Being reunited with Him in heaven. That is the great day. That is the great day. What is a parable? Parable is a story given by Jesus to teach us His principles. Just like the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son, how he left the heavenly father, or the father, went on his own ways, took his inheritance, splurged it, sinned. Yet when he came back to the father opened, threw his robe around the son, even when he was smelly with pigs, with animals. And he forgave him and welcomed him back into the kingdom. Just like the Heavenly Father welcomes us, sinners, into His kingdom. Number 3. How has God intervened in your most recent trial? My most recent trials, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to be a father in 2 days. Today is June 18th. Baby Pan is coming on due date, June 20th. We don't know the exact day, but hey, trials. I believe some trials I have is being patient with my in-laws that are visiting. I need to be a light to them, point them towards the right direction. And actually, I encourage them to go to the church that our neighbor goes to. And on Sunday, they went to church. The dad did not want to go to church. They didn't. They were not interested. But I said, community is so important. Community is so important. Hi, Angel. And that's why pointing people towards the right direction. And when they went, even though there was only like 9 people during that service, they had a great time. They got prayed over. They got blessed. And yeah, they had a good time. They had coffee. Thank you. Thank you. Congrats. Congrats. Hi, Angel. Yeah. So we're not meant to live in isolation. Opposite of isolation is community. And so we absolutely must seek community in our life. Amen. So how has God intervened in your most trials, recent trials? He gave me the strength to say no to gaming, to delete it. He gave me the strength to be persistent, committed in the Word of God. each and every day. Every day is a battle. I may have felt tired, may have felt like I did not want to show up for a live stream, like maybe a couple of weeks ago. But by the grace of God, He said He gave me strength to come through. So I don't take any of this for granted. You guys, I don't take you guys for granted. Christy said a seed was planted. Glory to God. And so we glorify God. Bridget says, may God bless you and your family, Joshua. I mean, Pastor, thank you so much. Hello, ETF. Shelly says, the Lord has truly blessed you, Pastor Josh. Children are a gift. God's gift to us. Well, I know so. I pray so. I pray for a healthy baby. Pray for a supernatural birth. For God's hand to be upon this whole thing. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't I play games anymore? I don't play games because I'm so busy. I'm busy offline as well. I'm developing youths as they lead Christian clubs on their schools. And in my own youth group, we only have like 20, 25 youth. And sometimes just 15. But out of that small group of youth, we have 3 Christian club leaders in 3 different schools. And I'm training them to be a light in their school. And I'm training them to lead small group, to lead outreach, like in the gym, having me come speak or other speakers come. I'm training them to pass out Bibles, to pray for people, and to witness to just people. And so we have like 5 schools: Irvington, American High School, Washington High School, Mission High School. We have Walters Middle School, Hopkins Middle School. We have 6 schools. And they've already reached maybe 1,000 students across the board. Because during the outreach, we have like 200 students come out to hear the gospel. Students of all ethnicity at an age. And so, that takes my time. And then it's an English ministry. So I preach every Sunday, every Friday, and also we have a young adult group that's being formed. It's going to kick off next week on Wednesday, 7 to 9 o'clock. We're kicking off with our first ever college young adult group. And then, of course, I need to make videos. I'm publishing 6 shorts every day. And then doing 1 live stream, which is at least 1 hour. Right now, it's been 1 hour and 18 minutes. And so if I play games, then I would be wasting my time, taking time away from all the other things. And of course, I need to spend time with my wife and my in-laws. So those are other things that I need to do. So you see, this live stream, I cannot take for granted either. My time is precious. Your time is precious. And I appreciate all of you guys just being here. Amen. So, all glory to God. God is the one that makes me my best. You see, without God, I am nothing. I was at my lowest point. I was nothing at all. But Jesus is in me. And I guess you see Jesus. And because you see Jesus, who's great, you say I'm great. But ultimately, that's Jesus. We see Jesus in each other. Where do I preach? I preach in Tree of Life Christian Church. Tree of Life Lord's Harvest Christian Church in Fremont, California. Do I have a brother and sister? I have 2 brothers, 1 older and 1 younger. Your short videos are so good that I even collaborated with one of them. Wow. Glory to God. I did not know. I mean, I tried my best. I'm coming up with these scripts. And actually now I want to come up with more scripts that are directly from this devotion. And take it out and speak it. And say, did you know that God's judgment is coming upon those? Or it's kind of scary. Or, I don't know. Says, that's where I'm from. I love it. Praise the Lord. Where are you from, Quintia? You're from Fremont, California? If you are, come check my church out. Come check it out. 10:45 Sunday. Stop by. I will love new people. Hello, everyone. Hello. Someone said, I might come to your church when I'm adult. Hey, no problem. Tell Mama Pan that prayers are going up to heaven for an easy deliverer. I'll let them know. Amen. Amen. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You are? Well, Tree of Life Christian Church, inviting you. 10:45 on Sunday morning. I see you there. Quintia Bernard. All right. Anyways, so fourth question out of four. What helps you shift your gaze from your difficulties to God's care for you? Shift your gaze, shift your eyes from your difficulties to God's care for you. Now, this reminds me of to set your eyes on things above and not on earthly things. Set your eyes on things above and not on earthly things. You want to be looking at Jesus, looking at God, finding Jesus. You see, we have this human, hello Fragrance, thank you so much. There's this human mind psychology in which we find what we seek. For example, if you go out and you're looking for Hondas, then you'll see more Hondas than ever before. Or Toyotas. If you go out looking for Jesus, then you'll see Jesus more and more. I see your 18 minus 6 is 12. So 12 years old, JMM. Yeah. And so shift your gaze. What helps you? Well, number one. What helps me? To pray continually. To remember of His goodness, His mercy. Be grateful. Number two. Grateful heart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 16 says, rejoice always. Yeah, praise the Lord. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Oh Lord, thank you, thank you. I love you. And then, give thanks in all circumstances. A heart of gratitude. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ. Hello, Kinley. Yeah. So, that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Remember it. Memorize it. Darnell Shaw on the recording. Thanks. Good day and good guy. Thank you, Tina Smith. Bridget says, your videos can people's attention. The first time I saw one of your videos, I almost skipped it. It was God directing me. You never know, since God works in mysterious ways. Well, as they say, it takes 7 times in order to get someone to respond. 7 times. And so, they may skip me 6 times, but on the 7th time, they may stop and listen. Listen to the Word of God. The Word of God, which is sweet like honey, which is rich like gold and silver. The Word of God, which is so powerful. And so, it's okay. Right now, I have a 50% swipe rate, which is not that great. People say we should have 85% swipe rate ratio. But then, you know, when I was publishing videos with like actual meme videos and talking about Jesus, the swipe rate was at 70%. So I know that that may be the way I have to go. But I'm still testing things out. I'm still learning, thinking, how can I best reach you guys? And right now I'm testing, drawing from the Word of God, and then giving it to you all through the shorts. Being inspired by the Word of God. Letting my life be built upon the Word of God. Amen. And fire says, I jumped on right away. The peace of God is present. Praise the Lord. Amen. Wow, God is good. So a letter to God. Dear God, thank you for your promises of deliverance and restoration. Help me trust in your unfailing love and sovereignty, even in the midst of uncertainty. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. Well, may God bless you, be with you. May you give all glory to God. May He walk with you, protect you, provide for you, give you wisdom, understanding, knowledge. And may you experience more of Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Panda out. For now.